Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manye Tvam Kalam Ishanam. Anadi Nidanam Vibhum. Samam Charantam Savitra. Bhutanam Yanmitak Kali. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the Supreme Controller without beginning and end, the All-Pervasive One. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living entities are due to social intercourse. Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Govardhan. Wow, you know, this Kartik here. I have my own little temple here. I actually have a, basically my own house in Govardhan. Yeah, it's my own house. It's like an attached house. It has a front and back little courtyard and a living room, kitchen and bedroom and my own bathroom here. And it's kind of been the center of, you know, a small group of people. We have Damodar Ashtakam at 8:15 and then class at 4:30. Today I went into Vrindavan to take Jai Subhadra Kadamba Mala and Lagima and Janava on Parikram. So it's kind of been a long day. And we just had Prabhupada's disappearance festival, and it's really incredible, actually, because we have really deep Vaishnavas in Govardhan, you know, dedicated to chant and hearing all day, and then you hear their realizations. Started off with Keshava Bharti March, and the setting now is in the Tamalvan. It's beautiful. By Tamal Krishnamacharya's Pushpa Samadhi, then they set up Prabhupada, and then people could sit in the sand and there's chairs for the senior Vaishnavas. And the setting is, the speaker is like in a kunj, a tamal kunj. And behind them are these big white Sarabi cows. Good sound system. So Keshava Bharti Marge was reading something about Prabhupada and hearing and his own realization how Prabhupada captured the thoughts of the sacred texts and therefore was able to communicate them. And then Irmala spoke about missing Prabhupada. And it was just one after another. Bhurijan Prabhu, Sachinandana Swami, Jayadvaita Maharaj. And it was great. But Sheshika Prabhu, myself. So it was really nice. This purport is quite interesting. Of course, this is Queen Kunti's prayers. And, you know, Prabhupada will say in the purport beginning that Kunti Dev knew that Krishna was neither a nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the super soul, Paramatma. So she's now, because as you remember the story, you know, she saw how Krishna protected her, I guess, grandchild, is it? It was great-grandchild, like Kunti Devi, and her son is Parikshit, whose son is Abhimanyu, and then, yeah, anyway, it's from her lineage, and she sees Draupadi and how Krishna protected her child, the last living member of that Kuru Pandava dynasty. So she saw who Krishna was, and and she began offering prayers. And this particular prayer is really significant, because there's this question: you are equal to everyone, but dissensions between living entities being due to social intercourse. So you're equally merciful to people, but people don't get equally treated. It's just like a father. He's equally merciful to all his children, but the children don't get equally treated. They get treated according to what's good for them. And the relationship that they themselves create with the father, considering the father is proper and merciful. So this apparent dichotomy between Krishna distributing his mercy equally to people, and yet we see that some people have much better lives than others externally. And some people are even apparently mercilessly tortured in this life. So this dichotomy is here. The questioning of Krishna's mercy when there is evil and suffering in the world. This is a perennial question. The question of Krishna's mercy. God must be all powerful and all good. if he's not all powerful, if he's not all powerful, if he's not all good, he won't want to help us. And if he's not all powerful, he can't help us. So these are the qualities of God. He's all powerful, and he's merciful, and he's kind. So this apparent dichotomy, and it's dealt with right here by Kunti. In other words, saying, I don't doubt you are God, because I see that Samam Charantam, your Sarvatra, you're distributing your mercy everywhere. And the Kali, the dissensions, the trouble between living beings, the exploitation by one of another, the cheating by one and another, and all these other different interchanges, this is due to Ya Mita. It's due to their own exchange. It's not the fault of God. Borijan told one story in this regard. He's so deep. I think you find it on dandavat.com, him and Sachinandana's talk. But one person asked Prabhupada, if Krishna, if the holy name is merciful, then why is it so difficult for us to chant it? Somehow or other, Prabhupada found the question, it was even hard for Borijan to understand how heavy Prabhupada's answer was to this person. But Borijan, you know, it's stuck in his mind. Prabhupada didn't answer the question at that time. And it's stuck in Borijan's mind. Why, if the holy name is all merciful, do we struggle so much experiencing its manifestation? We do not create the holy name. The holy name is Krishna. It manifests according to its own accord. When you chant the name, it's Krishna, but it's not Krishna fully revealed. It's like you may be before a person, even be talking to a person, but if they don't trust you, they won't reveal themselves. So yes, the holy name is Krishna, but he's not fully manifest or fully revealed. That's how I try to reconcile that. Is the name Krishna or not? It's Krishna, but according to your consciousness, Krishna reciprocates and manifests him fully. That's why it's so important to be in Prem Kirtan, the kirtan of people who are not entertainers, the kirtan in line with Prabhupada, which I call Prem Kirtan. Because when people chant, on their consciousness, it depends how much Krishna manifests and how much benefit you will get from hearing it. That's why it says chant with pure devotees. Chant with people who chant. Shudanam, what's Shudanam? Shudanam is the full manifestation of Krishna in the name. The full manifestation of Krishna name in the name in reciprocation to people who chant purely, who chant for Krishna's Anyway, somehow Prabhupada didn't like the answer, and Borijan was always meditating on it. If the holy name is so merciful, why is it not manifesting? And then Borijan somehow mentioned that he was on the phone with his wife, who was in Mayapur this year, and he reflected, I think he's been married for 50 years. He's reflecting that when you're in a relationship, when something goes wrong, you always blame your partner. He said, it's just so the nature of psychology when people live together. So he gave the example that recently something was missing or something, and he got, you know, he blamed his wife. Why did you move it? You know, don't move my things. You know, don't move my things. Now I can't find it. And then his wife reminded him, you know, this morning, you remember that you moved it. So he thought that was a perfect example of kind of, we blame God for the things that we have caused. And I think really, that's what this verse is about. Because it says, the dissensions between living entities are not due to God. God is distributing his mercy equally. The problems are not due to God and in not distributing his mercy equally. It's due to the living entities and how they the exchange between one another. In the ninth chapter of the second canto, I think it's the eighth chapter of the second canto. It's questions by Maharaj Prickett. The ninth chapter is answers by citing the Lord's version. So the first question had something to do with how the living entity came to this world or something like that. And the answer was that the first sinful will of the living entity is to be separate from God, and the consequent will from God is to satisfy that desire by putting us in a position where we can be in the illusion of enjoyers and controllers. And that's what the body is about. It's about fostering and facilitating our desire to be separate from God, which can only be fulfilled in illusion. Everything is God's energy, but when you want to experience proprietorship and superiority, that consciousness perceives God's energy as our own. That's material consciousness. I often use the word narcissistic. Narcissistic means to see the world through your own desires. And when you see the world through your own desires, then you start to impose a system of reality on the world according to those desires. You see other people's things as your own. If you ever have the experience of loaning people money, if it's the wrong person, they'll start seeing that money as their own and won't want to pay it back to you. Their desire cause the illusion to not see something as it is.
Therefore, Prabhupada related Maya to sense gratification. The sentience core. And I really think that this is also one way we can approach
the question of evil and reconcile it with the conception of God.
Because God, the definition of God is three things. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscience. He knows everything, and omnibenevolent, all good. So if there's evil in the world, I explained this before, then the classic argument is you can pick whichever way you want. There's three reasons there's evil in the world. Either God doesn't know everything, so he's not omniscient, or he knows everything, but he can't do anything about it, then he's not omnipotent. Or he sees everything, knows everything, but he's not omnibenevolent. He's not good, so he does crappy things. But all three things have to be there for an entity to be defined as God, or to have a conception that such an entity exists. But I think there's a different way to look at it. What is your faith and what is your value system? If your faith is good, is nice, then when something's not nice, then you'll think it's not good, but good is not always nice. There's also tough love. If you look at the world for controlment and consequent enjoyment, then you will deny God's existence when that doesn't happen. But if you look at the world in terms of purification, an elevation in consciousness, and judge it by those things, then the difficulties in the world don't deny the quality of omnibenevolency in God, that he's all good. If you look at it from the perspective of the Supreme, God is looking at good as awakening the soul. So from that perspective, the sufferings in the world don't negate the existence of God if those sufferings, you know, help our enlightenment. Okay, let's read on from the... And actually, I'm thinking of writing this on the next Monday morning greetings. Bhakti and victim consciousness. See, if you blame God, you'll never improve. You'll wait for God to change for you to improve. You know, it's a fine line. I think there's a question that arises now in American politics, whether the black people should get reparations for slavery. Obviously, it was such a horrible thing and they were exploited. Becomes a very complicated thing to actually resolve because the blood is so mixed and people have come after those things and et cetera. But one thing one always has to be conscious of is that whatever you do to help people, you don't allow it to become morph into victim consciousness, because then people won't take responsibility to improve. This is not negating that there is a certain sector in society from their karma, from their birth, from their situation, has no opportunity and no ability to actually rise above their situation, and therefore they legitimately need help. But victim consciousness takes the power of change from yourself and accedes it to others, and often the very people that caused you the difficulty, you give them the power. And if it doesn't come, then you don't improve. So here it's the same thing. Kunti's saying, don't blame God. We'll read some of the purport. Another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by Him. It's not just saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at the present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore He knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of the Lord destines all actions and reactions, He is the supreme controller also. Without His sanction, not a blade of grass, can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal Kala. The Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and misery. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have misery uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked. For they're all predestined by Kala. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the results of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living entities in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He is all-pervading, and therefore He can see everyone's activities. Because the Lord has no beginning and end, He is known as the eternal time Kala. So our decisions determine our fate or future. So we are responsible for what is happening for us now. And that's the point that Kunti has. I mean, that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is Samasameshu Bhuteshu Madhvakta Labhati. Where? Samasameshu Bhakteshu Namedvesta Sinepra. I am equal to everyone. I do not hate and like. But the devotees I reciprocate with, because it's very natural to reciprocate. Otherwise, God wouldn't be the Supreme Person if He couldn't reciprocate in love. But God is equal to everyone, but doesn't mean everyone is treated the same. And there's no contradiction. It means that God will respond equally to everyone who responds to Him. He'll respond accordingly. That's Gita. Yeyatama papajante tamstatai babajam. As one surrenders to me, I reward accordingly. But he will reward to everyone who surrenders to him. Sarva dharma prityaja mame kam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva pape moksha. Everyone he promises. Kontiya prajajanahi name bhakta, declare it boldly. My devotee never perishes. So it's exactly like a father. He's equal to each son, meaning that he will respond equally to each son. If one son leaves home and neglects the family and the father doesn't send him any money, and the son that stays home and does serves the parents gets money, it doesn't mean he's not equal, because if that other son came home, he would be treated in the same way. And if the son that left home, he would also be treated in the same way. So treating someone equally means in similar circumstances. There's no prejudice, there's no hate, there's no like, there's no favors. God just reciprocates. And here it mentions how one suffers in the world indirectly by God, because he's time and he's moving the world to create conditions to rectify us. This world serves for purification and rectification. But God does it in different ways. I hope the class being at 8 o'clock is not too much, but I'm really having a little hard time in the afternoon, and I'm going to have to figure out how to take a nap without ruining my early to bed, early to rise. I mean, the schedule here is I'm mostly up before 1 o'clock. So by the time it rolls around here, which is 6:30, somehow, because I saw, I was trying to give some points and they just disappeared from my head due to brain fatigue. So I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just go on to the next verse. Let's see. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Okay, somehow or other, you know, because of the long day and the travel, I don't think I can continue much, but somehow I'm happy that I got on, able to give something. If anybody has any questions, they can ask.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I am Gloria. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If difficulties come, should we fight against them or just accept them?
If difficulties come, should we fight against them or accept them? It seems that we can do both. Like, for example, if you get sick, right, you should try to get healthy, right? Because that's your duty. But at the same time, Sometimes we find out that, you know, the condition we have is chronic. We really can't do much about it, so we accept it. In other words, there's dharma. Dharma means how we respond. And we should always accept it as God's mercy. We should also accept it that God is all-powerful and we can't really change what's happening to us, but we can change our future by how we react to it. So I think the point is, what is accepting? Accepting it. Accepting doesn't mean that we do nothing. Accepting means that we accept it as God's mercy and make our decisions accordingly. Whether or not we do something about it is not going to be based on our ego. It's going to be based on our service to God. So we should when things come, we should accept it as God's mercy. And and respond according to the fact that it's God's mercy, but how it dictates to a response. Sometimes the response is tolerance, is do nothing. But that's not always the response. And when you're doing nothing, it doesn't mean you're not accepting it as God's mercy. You're accepting it as God's mercy. But sometimes it may, like Arjuna, it may be to fight. So it really depends. It's really just seeing everything as God's mercy and accepting it's God's mercy and not responding it and trying to control, but trying to serve. But sometimes trying to serve means that we try to counteract it also. Okay, thank you, Gloria. That's a good question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else have a question? Okay, anybody like to say hello?
Well, Rush, thank you. That was a wonderful class. Thank you very much.
Great to hear from you, Henry. Haribo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Ditto what Henry said.
Oh, wow. This is one of the classes that I'm sleeping and giving the class. But somehow those classes always turn out good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Shirupa.
And Teva Priya.
Wow. See you both soon. See you both soon. Next month, in fact. Great. Yeah, I took Jai Subhadra, you know, and Lagima and Kadamba, and they really had a nice entrance into the Dham. Very beautiful, simple places and really see the real Vrindavan in the first day. And they had a real full day. And then they went to, then I had to go some other place, and then Janava took them to the samadhis. It's really interesting. Jamuna's samadhi, Brahmananda's samadhi, Anantashanti, the first devotee who preached, Gunagraya Marja's samadhi. So and then in the afternoon they went to class by Chaturatma and then kirtan by Madhava. So it was a full day. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. It was a wonderful class. Thank you so very much. This is Tiffany.
Tiffany, Haribo, I got your letter. I'll respond to it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Lal Govinda.
And precious Sundariyad, Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bo. I'm so glad your names don't rhyme.
Me too.
Thank you.
It's Lee and Bree. You know, so I like it. I like it. So okay. Anybody else? Say hello. Who is this? Anybody else? Okay, other people I know, sometimes they're on, they can't say hello. Then they write me, but okay. I will go now. A little bit of a shorter class, but somehow people are like, hey, Johnny Tai, Haribo.
Good. Is this the new? Is this the new class time from now on, or is that just today?
Well, what happens is because of my schedule of getting up before 1 o'clock, I can't possibly make it here till 7:30 at night. So when daylight savings time happened there, I can't switch. So definitely when I'm in there, it'll be at 8 o'clock, and then I'll get feedback from people. And if they like it earlier and none of our regulars have a hard time with it, then I'll probably just keep it. But I'll see. Whatever most convenient.
Okay, got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj Kaveri.
Oh, hi, Bo Kaveri. Hi, Bo. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to head out now. Maybe I think some people didn't get the message that the time has changed. So maybe they'll come on later. Okay. Haribo. One shakalpa tru bishaka sindhu baby chapatitanam pavane bio. Vaishnave bio. Namo namah.